Would you turn with me to Paul's letter to Philemon? Paul's letter to Philemon. Philemon. Chapter 1, but it's only one chapter. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love, that it is as none other than Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he may take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayer. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and look, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Our Father, we pray that you would speak to us this evening from your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The story is told of a farmer called Farmer Fleming on the Highlands of Scotland. And while he was in his farm, he heard the cry of a young lad who had got stuck in a bog. And there was every possibility that that bog would have taken that young man's life. He was up to his waist in the bog, it would have been a very slow and painful death. The farmer ran to the young man and got him out of the bog and took him home. The next day, along came this carriage, and out came the lord of the district, and he told him that the young man that he had rescued was his son, and he wanted to reward him. And the farmer Fleming says, "I don't want any of your reward. I did it because it was right." And anyway, the lord insisted as much as he could, but nothing happened. He wouldn't budge at all. And along came the farmer's son, and the lord said, "Look, farmer, I can't force you to take anything from me, but see this son of yours. If I can take him and educate him, would you allow me? Because if he's anything like you, he'll do well in life." And that young farmer's son went away and studied and became a doctor at St. Mary's Hospital in London. And he became Professor Fleming. And that Professor Fleming, Dr. Fleming, discovered penicillin. Now, the Lord's son got sick. He got pneumonia. And the very penicillin that this doctor discovered was the very thing that cured that young man's life. And he became Sir Winston Churchill. That's a true story. Isn't it amazing what an act of kindness can do and can affect millions upon millions of people? That is what God's grace does. It is really amazing grace. How that God could take someone and use them for his glory. And I just want to look at this young fellow called Onesimus, and look at Philemon, and look at the Apostle Paul. This man Onesimus was a slave, a runaway slave. We're told that he probably stole from Philemon. And the punishment in the Roman council, in the Roman law, was execution. The owner looked at the slave as his living property. The slave did not have any rights. And what picture that we have of what's happened in this particular household, we know that Philemon was a Christian man. We are told that, well, it's inferred that Apphia, our sister, and Aristarchus, our fellow soldiers, were probably this man Philemon's wife and son. And so this was a Christian household. Whether Onesimus had taken advantage that they were Christians and seen that there could be money to be made and pocketed it and then ran away, thinking that it was something that he could do, and he was discovered and he ran. He was probably a young man as a teenager. That's what people have inferred from what we learn. But here, the Apostle Paul was not forcing. He says he says, "I could be bold." Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. This was what was going to change the Roman culture. It wasn't laws, it wasn't order, it wasn't manipulation. It was the amazing grace of God that was going to change this whole society. Look at this letter Paul writes. It's a very personal letter. He didn't call himself an apostle, didn't call himself anything else, but he said he called himself a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He looked at Philemon. He was a good servant of Christ, our dear friend and fellow worker. He told them, he says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. This was a good man. He was talking and sharing with this man, knowing the kind of individual he was. And he wanted to base everything that he was saying to him on Christian love. But here we find the Apostle Paul speaking to him. Here's the appeal. It says, look at verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do it, it says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. There's a play in the word. Paul was using this. But he says, you know, Onesimus has changed, but he must go back to you. He's a Christian, but he must give an account for what he's done. Although the grace of God comes along, we still have responsibilities to repay if we do wrong. That's what Paul was saying. That's real repentance. I wanted to keep him, but yet there is a greater reason behind it all. He looks at the personal character of Onesimus, and he'd asked him to show forgiveness. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. Here talks about the grace of God. He says, you know, you owe your very life to me. I brought you to Christ. I brought this son, Onesimus, to Christ. And here we find reconciliation. He says, you know, verse 15, it says, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. He says, you know, perhaps that was the reason. There's a lot of perhapses, isn't there? There's things that happen in life, and Paul says to you and to me, you know, things happen. And there's a reason behind it all. When this young man, Onesimus, ran away, you thought to yourself, what a villain that chap is. He's stolen money. He's run away. He's a villain. He's a rogue. Paul says, perhaps there was a reason behind it all. And that's something that we go through life discovering, that there is a purpose behind everything. Sometimes the Lord never always reveals it to us. But if he is Lord and he knows the end from the beginning, we trust him. We can't understand for why things go on in life. But we know that what Paul is telling this man Philemon is absolutely true. And if that is true for Philemon, it's true for us. The reasons behind it all. We look at our country. We think of things personally. We've been praying for the assemblies. We wonder why these things happen. But we know the one who's in control, Jesus Christ. And he has a reason for it all. We've got to acknowledge God's hand at work. His heart is broken. When I remember what took place when the Lord Jesus was looking over Jerusalem. And he saw that holy city. And he wept over it. He sobbed over it. He was visibly shaking. What did he see? He saw the nation that he had separated and looked after for throughout the generations had degenerated itself. Instead of the house of God being a house of prayer, it became a den of thieves. He preached to them and warned them. And he gave them every opportunity to change. But he was faithful. When he was going along and our Lord was there, I was looking at Luke's Gospel. And, you know, the Lord Jesus went through Jericho. When he entered Jericho, there was a man called Bartimaeus. And he was told that Jesus was coming. And so he shouted on Jesus to heal him. Blind Bartimaeus. And he was told to be quiet, and that made him shout the more. You can imagine that. And the Lord healed him. He said, "What do you want to do?" He says, "I want to receive my sight." And he said he was filled with joy. When he was leaving Jericho, there was Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector. There was no dignity in Zacchaeus as he ran to the sycamore tree. I'm sure people looked at him and said, "He's the head of the tax collector. Surely there's some decorum for him." He says he wanted to see Jesus. And the Lord Jesus stopped and spoke to him personally because he was interested in Zacchaeus. He knew him by name, and he invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. The reason for me saying to that, he knew everything. And he had time for the people he met that were interested. And although he knew the state of that country, he still was willing to speak to these people. And the Lord's hand was at work. As it was at work in Onesimus' life. He could have gone to the coast, but he went to Rome. He was going to get lost. Nobody would know who Onesimus was. It was a city. He could get lost in the thoroughfare of everything. But the Lord's hand was in it all. And he found Paul, the very person that led Philemon to Christ. And God's hand was in it all, and he was going to bring reconciliation together. Isn't that a wonderful thing? What does Joseph say to his brothers? "You did evil against me, but God meant it for the good." To bring today to save much people's lives. And there are times when we see God at work. and we can glorify God. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. We can see God's hand, and we trust and we obey Him. We can see Him going, working things out. You know, one of the other things that I discover in this particular thing, you know, Onesimus was a sinner. He could easily have said to Paul, look, it was because I was brought up as a slave. That's the reason for me stealing. It's not my responsibility, it's the culture I'm living in. You heard it all today, haven't you? That's what people say. It's the British culture that causes people to do wrong. But it's not. It's people's sinfulness that causes people to do wrong. And this is what happened with Onesimus' life. He had to acknowledge and see God at work and stand in the shoes and be able to return and accept responsibility. He was morally responsible for himself. And that's what took place. And here was the Apostle Paul. He says, refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Paul knew that this man, Philemon, was a gracious, kind man. He was the head of his household. The church met in his house. He was the person that led the congregation in prayer and in devotions. He was one that could lead them because he was a man in his life who showed these things out. We are also told that Onesimus, he was probably a young man. Church history tells us that when he was older, he became the bishop of Ephesus. That's what some of the history tells us. I don't know whether it's true, but that's what some of the history records put down. And it was at Ephesus that the letters of the Apostle Paul were gathered together. I'm sure this man, Onesimus, when he got Paul's letters, he said to himself, I'm absolutely sure Philemon's going to be in there because it talks about me and how God has worked in grace and shown how things can change. Brothers and sisters, there are people in Horsham and we think to ourselves, they can never change. We look at the neighbourhood and we think of this godless culture, this world of ours, this country of ours. Can it change? I think Onesimus and Philemon, the book of Philemon tells us that people that can run away from God, can live godless lives, the grace of God can touch their lives and change them for the glory of God. Remember Farmer Fleming. He did one act of kindness out of what he knew was the right thing to do. But because of that, so much blessing came and touched so many souls. And that can happen in your life, in my life. The act of kindness, the act of grace, being kind, showing the other people that we are children of God. And people see that, and they can see the grace of God at work. The Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul talks about Demas. Well, we mistook him, having loved this present world. There was lots of people that the Apostle Paul had, but each of them were precious and important to him. And he was wanting them to know the grace of God. The Apostle Paul never called for the overthrow of slavery, but the principles in Philemon was the very things that destroyed him. The grace of God, Christian love, the destruction of people, of the culture, of the master and the slave, that was destroyed by the Christian gospel, because we are all one in Christ Jesus. That is so important for God to work in us. Amen. Our Father, we thank you that you are a God who knows everything that's in the future. You're never taken by surprise. You never have a situation that there's no answer. We struggle in life because we can't see the future, and our Father, we just trust you and we obey you. As the song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Our Father, we look to the future and we see, we don't know what we see, but we see you as Lord of all. And our Father, we ask that in our lives we may live as the Apostle Paul asked Philemon, to show grace and forgiveness and kindness and grace. May we be people that just exemplify Christian values. And our Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.